Stacy Lunsford, the pastor of poetry. We bring you greetings from Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry, and you are listening to Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. We give God the glory, we give God the honor, and we give God the praise. This inspirational message is entitled Functional Illiteracy in the Body of Christ. It's time for a change. So for those of you that are going to follow along with me with the Word of God, I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Timothy, the second chapter and the 15th verse, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and there's certain scriptures that I'm going to pull out from Ephesians, the fourth chapter. But I'm going to start by talking about function. What is function? What does it mean to be functionally illiterate in the body of Christ? You know, there are several programs that have been established for people that are illiterate, that do not know how to read. There are some people that don't know how to write. As I was doing this lesson, the Lord began to speak to me about illiteracy in the body of Christ. Symbolically, if you're illiterate where you do not know how to read, you simply don't know how to read. And so there are classes that have been established to help people learn how to read. Now, many adults, seasoned adults, they didn't have the opportunity to learn how to read because for whatever reasons, they dropped out of school early to go to work, to take care of their families. There are many, many extenuating circumstances. But I'm just trying to break down different reasons why people may be illiterate. When it comes to the body of Christ, many people don't understand that there are certain functions that each member of the body of Christ should be functioning in. We all have a very, very unique role. We all have very unique gifts that God has given to each of us as He wills. The spiritual gifts are recorded in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And although I won't be getting into it in depth in this teach tonight, I do want to put that scripture out there because one of the reasons the body is functionally illiterate is because they don't understand who they are. They don't understand their function. They don't understand the spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities that God has placed inside of them. But yet we try and function and operate to the best of our ability and not understanding that we are functionally illiterate. So we're really operating in the spirit of error. Therefore, the church, the body of Christ, which is many members, but one body, but we're out of order. And God is not a God of confusion. He's not the author of confusion. So this message is very dear to my heart. And I pray that something said tonight will bless you, will encourage you, will inspire you, will motivate you to dig into the Word of God and learn for yourself what God is requiring of you. And whatever it is that you don't know, whatever areas that you find that you are functionally illiterate, all you have to do is ask God to show you. Welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. Welcome the Holy Spirit into your next Bible study. When you sit down and you open up your Bible, say a short prayer. Holy Spirit, I commit this time into your hands and I invite you to open up this word. Open up my understanding. I ask you right now for spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding because I want to understand what my function is. I want to understand what God's will is. I don't want to be out of order. I want to be in order. So I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to be my counselor, to be my teacher, to be my advisor. I am asking you, Holy Spirit, to remove the scales from my eyes and allow the spiritual illumination of the Word of God to bring forth spiritual revelation that I may see. And I'm telling you, you don't have to say it the way I said it, but God will surely honor your prayers. And as you study the Word, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into the spiritual truths of God's word, and God will release His mysteries to you. What is function? Function is the characteristic or proper activity of a person or a thing. It is the special purpose for which something exists. It is a specific duty, occupation, or role. It is something closely related to or dependent on something else. Now, there's a definition for function in regards to mathematics. And I'm going to read this because when I saw the word mathematics, I was like, ooh, y'all know me. I love to laugh a little bit when I'm sharing the word, but I did not like math when I was in school. And when I saw mathematics, I was like, oh, I got to hurry up and read this. But in mathematics, function is a rule or correspondence between two sets that there is a unique element in one set that is assigned to each element in the other. It is to serve or perform a function. So when we look at mathematics, and if I ask you, what is the sum of 1 + 1? Add sign that's in the middle. The function of that add sign is to add 1 + 1. And the function of the equal sign is to give you the answer of 1 + 1 = 2. So I'm going to read the definition again. In mathematics, function is a rule of correspondence between two sets such that there is a unique element in one set assigned to each element in the other. It is to serve or perform a function. And what I love about the word of God, whenever we read God's word, God always releases information to us, and God always releases instructions to us. And whenever there is a function, God always explains what that function is. And that's why I asked you to bookmark Ephesians, the 4th chapter. If you are able to perform your function in the body of Christ, that means that you are functional. If you are able to perform your function as a husband in your marriage to your wife, that means that you are functional. If you are able to perform your function in your marriage as a wife to your husband, that means that you are fully functional in your marriage. That means that you totally understand what your requirements are as a husband, what your requirements are as a wife, and you understand what your function is in the body of Christ. Now, I didn't intend to go in this direction, but I believe in being led by the Holy Ghost. So I have to ask you to please go with me to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, because the Holy Ghost just gave me an illustration that I need to share with you in the Word of God. And I am going to be using, I'm going to be going back between the King James Version and the Amplified Version. So I want to start reading at Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to start reading at the 20th verse, and we're going to go down to verse 23. So giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves, this is talking about the husband and the wife, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then verse 22, it separates the wives altogether. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. And I'm going to read verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So in case you didn't understand what your function is as a wife or as a husband, God just provided biblical prescriptions in his word in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 20 and verse 24. And it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. So one of the functions of a wife is to submit herself unto her husband. Now, if she does not have knowledge of this, or if she has knowledge of this, but is in rebellion to God's word and in rebellion to her husband, then this is a good example of being functionally illiterate. Now, if the husband is not the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, then he is also functionally illiterate. And we have a lot of marriages today where the wife is the head of the home because the father is not actively pursuing the role or his function as the head of the home. He is not the priest of the home. And then maybe he can't be the priest of the home because the wife is operating in the Jezebelic spirit, which she's controlling and dominating. And he's so henpecked, he just do whatever she says. And whatever the case may be, they're operating in a spirit of error, which labels them as being functionally illiterate in their marriage, both the husband and the wife. We're talking about functional illiteracy in the body of Christ. Now, the word of God says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. So we're talking about functional illiteracy in the body of Christ. So my question tonight is the church subject unto Christ? Is the church submitted to the biblical authority of God's word? Is the church functioning in the spirit of obedience or disobedience? We're talking about functional illiteracy in the body of Christ. I pray that something said so far is really pricking your heart. And I pray that God will even convict our hearts as we're going through this lesson tonight. The word of God is powerful. And God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to know. That's why the word of God tells us in 2 Timothy, the second chapter in the 15th verse, to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Why? Because we need to understand the word of God, not to satisfy people, not to please people. We need to know what God is requiring of us. You see, when we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts as Lord and personal Savior, we became citizens in the kingdom of God. So God is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is I am, I am. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Before God, there was no God made, and neither will there be after him. God, this is his kingdom, and we are kingdom citizens in the kingdom of God. And God's word is the kingdom principles that we should live by. So if we don't know his word, if we don't know his principles, how are we going to successfully function in the body of Christ? How are we going to successfully function in the kingdom of God? Now, as kingdom citizens, God has given us power and authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And God's word tells us in Luke, the 10th chapter in the 19th verse, over all the power of the enemy. And the word of God says, and nothing shall harm us. But yet, when we don't seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you'll find that in Matthew's the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse, when we don't know 2 Timothy verse 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we don't know these things and when we don't do these things, guess what? We are functionally illiterate in the body of Christ. But yet we brag about being kingdom citizens. Yet we brag about being saved. You know, God said in his word in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, and if you give me a moment, we're going to take a look at verse 10. We're talking about functional illiteracy in the body of Christ. So God desires us to be in an intimate and passionate relationship with Him. God desires that we know Him and that we understand Him. You see, in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, beginning at the first verse, it says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." So we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. God redeemed us, and He redeemed us by loving us so much. John 3:16 says that, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." So Jesus' death on the cross, when Jesus shed blood on a hill called Mount Calvary, He redeemed us. He paid the price with His life, and with His blood, Jesus set us free. Jesus saved us. Jesus gave us the victory. Jesus healed us. Jesus rescued us. Jesus set us free. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, it tells us it is for freedom that we have been set free. And standing firm on the word of God, don't be entangled with the yoke of bondage. Don't be entangled with the yoke of slavery, but standing firm. So what is one of our functions as many members but one body in Christ? One of our functions is to stand firm. One of our functions is to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. One of our functions is to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But if we don't study to show ourselves approved unto God, if we don't read and study His word, if we don't apply His word to our lives, we won't know how to function in the body of Christ. We won't know what God is requiring of us. And we will operate in the spirit of error. And yes, we will be saved. And yes, we will go to heaven. But there are great rewards in heaven. There is a work that God has called each and every one of us to do. And we all have a role to play. We all have a function in that role. And it is time for change. Functional illiteracy in the body of Christ. It is time for change. So it's still in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, we're going to go down to the 10th verse. And God is saying, you that are listening to me. That part is not in the word, but this is what I'm saying to you in this message. Hey, listen. Verse 10, Isaiah 43, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. These are not my words. I'm sharing this message with you, because this is the message that God gave me to share to open the eyes of His people. Functional illiteracy in the body of Christ is time for a change. Isaiah 43 verse 10. God is saying, ye are my witnesses. So this is function number two. You are to be a witness for God. Now, before I get ahead of myself, let me finish reading Isaiah, the 43rd chapter in the 10th verse. It says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared it, verse 12, and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. So we are God's witnesses that He is God. So one of our functions is to be a witness for God. Hallelujah. Are you a witness for God? Revelations, the 12th chapter and 11th verse, it says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Being a witness is not always about sharing our testimony. You see, there are different ways that we can function as a witness for God. And it's all recorded in God's word. Oh, I'm getting excited. I love the word of God. We're talking about functional illiteracy in the body of Christ. And earlier I said, God's word is full of instructions. When God speaks to us, he gives us information. He gives us instructions. And he provides functions. He tells us what something is for. And a lot of times when you read, if you don't understand, if you ask God a question, he will tell you. Excuse me. So now we're going to go back to Ephesians, which is our foundational scripture for this message. And we had a divine interruption by the Holy Ghost when we went to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And I love it because this is not my broadcast. It is the Holy Ghost broadcast. And he could do whatever he wants to do. So for those of you that are following along with me, we are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. And my name is Stacy Lunsford. And we're talking about functional illiteracy in the body of Christ. So I just gave a couple of examples. And I just want to recap for one moment. If you are able to perform your function in the body of Christ, that means that you are functional. It means that you are operating in the specific duty, occupation, or role that God has purposed you to fulfill. So, as I started meditating on operating in the specific duty, occupation, or role that God has purposed us to fulfill, I had to go back to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Which is why I asked you to go there a moment ago. Now, in the first verse, it says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and I love the writings of the Apostle Paul. And for those of you that do not know, Paul was the first non-foundational apostle. And what I mean by that, the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples that walked with Jesus, that talked with Jesus, that learned of Jesus, that break bread with Jesus, that sat at the Lord's Supper and had communion with Jesus, they were the first foundational apostles because they walked with Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul, he is the first non-foundational apostle because he wasn't there when the foundation was laid during the teachings of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul, when his name was Saul, he was persecuting the Christians. And so he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and he was blinded for 3 days and he thought he was helping God. But when Jesus asked him, why art thou persecuting me? That's when his conversions really happened. And see, he thought he was operating harmony with the word of God. He thought he was functioning correctly, but really Saul was functionally illiterate. And I thank you, Holy Ghost, because that wasn't a part of the message. His name was Saul before it was changed to the Apostle Paul. He was well educated in the word of God. He came from a wealthy family and he knew the word. And he thought he had the right to persecute the Christians and even to kill them. So when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he realized that he was hurting Jesus, that he was hurting God, that he really was not doing what he was supposed to do. And with everything that's being said tonight through this message, I call forth a spirit of repentance. And anything, any area that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, any area that the Word of God will highlight to us, that we will be quick to repent and turn away from the things that we were doing. You see, the Apostle Paul, when his name was Saul, he turned away from his wicked ways. He was blinded for 3 days, and Jesus told him to go to a street called Straight. And on that street called Straight, hallelujah, he got straight with God. He got right with God. He had Ananias there. And Ananias was instructed to lay hand on Saul so that what appeared to be like scales on his eyes could fall, so that his eyes could be open so he could see. But Ananias, he didn't want to obey God because he was afraid of Saul, because he knew that he was killing and persecuting the Christians. But nonetheless, he was obedient and he did what God told him to do. And God told him, listen, he is going to suffer greatly for me. And I'm paraphrasing. But God knew that even in his flawed condition, when his name was Saul and when he was persecuting the Christians, Jesus knew, God knew that when Saul's heart was changed, that he was going to preach and teach the gospel. And he did it with a spirit of excellence. The moment that the scales fell from Saul's eyes, at this time, now his name is changed to Apostle Paul, he went immediately and began to preach and to teach the gospel. You see, he understood at that very moment that he came out of the spirit of error and he stepped into the spirit of truth the moment he met Jesus. Hallelujah. We're talking about functional illiteracy in the body of Christ. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So Ephesians, the fourth chapter in the first verse, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So our third function in the body of Christ is to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye have been called. So please don't overlook the fact that Paul, he said, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. So my next question is, are you a prisoner of the Lord? Are you a prisoner of the Lord? Are you a prisoner of the Lord? Then I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. So verse 2 complements verse 1 and gives us further instructions on how we are supposed to function in the body of Christ as we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called. So it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. My. Verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9 says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So remember in verse 8, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So now we're going to find out what these gifts unto men are as we come down to verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11, which is our foundational scripture. But I want everyone to read Ephesians, the fourth chapter, over and 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 over until you get it in your spirit. Write it out. Look up words that you don't understand. Cross-reference. Ask the Holy Ghost questions. So verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So these are the gifts that he gave to men that is mentioned in verse 8. So why? When I read the word of God, I always ask questions. God, why did Jesus give some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. What are they supposed to do? Okay. Now, our message is entitled Functional Illiteracy in the Body of Christ. Now, I'm going to release a rhema word, and it's a word out of the word. Okay, go with me to Ephesians 4, verse 12, because that's where we find the function of the gifts. So the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, they are gifts to the body of Christ, and their function is found in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Can I read that again? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So right there, we have three functions. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ. So why? Why do we need to be perfected? Why? Why do the saints need to be perfected? Why do we need to be edified? Why do we need to work in the ministry? Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, this is a big one right here. I'm going to ask y'all to hold on to your seats, because it's talking about being fitly joined together. So in verse 16 of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Why is God saying neither give place to the devil? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So for all of you that thought your job was just for you, you just read in the word of God that ye may be able to give to those in need. So one of the functions of the body of Christ is to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's to help the poor and needy. It's to help the widows. It's to help the orphans. It's to help the homeless, the fatherless, the motherless, the sick and the shut in. Are you functioning in the body of Christ the way God has called you to? Or are you functionally illiterate? Verse 29, Ephesians 4:29. We're just going to finish this whole chapter out. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Uh-oh. Functional illiteracy. Half the body of Christ is speaking corrupt communication out of their mouths, and we need to repent. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Uh-oh. Edify, edify. All throughout this message, we're hearing the word edify. So one of the functions of the body of Christ is to edify one another. Why? The word tells us right here that it may minister grace unto the hearers, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, verse 30 is real, real intimate. Really, really deep here, because sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we hear the instructions of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we hear his still, soft voice and we ignore him and we walk away from him and we turn our back on him and we act like we didn't hear him and we do what we want to do to satisfy our stinking flesh. Verse 30, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Uh-oh, functional illiteracy in the body of Christ. It's time for a change. Burn, burn. Burn. That's the alarm going off. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, with all malice, not a little bit of malice, but with all malice. The body of Christ is filled with malice. The spirit of Haman is operating in the body of Christ. If you want to know what the characteristics of the spirit of Haman is, then you read Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 31st verse over again. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. The spirit of Haman is filled with bitterness, filled with wrath, filled with anger, filled with clamor. It makes a clamorous noise about nothing, causing division, causing disunity in the body of Christ. Evil speaking, speaking lies. The word of God says, put it away from you with all malice. So what is one another function of the body of Christ? We need to put away all bitterness. We need to put away all wrath. We need to put away all anger. We need to put away all clamor. We need to put away all evil speaking and learn how to love one another and learn how to edify one another. The body of Christ is dysfunctional and we are operating in the spirit of error. And God, he wants us to come together on one accord. My heart hurts. This is a powerful message. In verse 4, the last verse for Ephesians 4, verse 32, it says, thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. I bless your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for this word. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and verse 32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. So another function in the body of Christ is to be kind to one another, to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. And just going back to verse 26, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. neither give place to the devil. So if you let the sun go down on your wrath, and if you are angry and you sin in your sin, guess what? You're giving place to the devil. God doesn't want us to do that. That's why he said, be ye angry and sin not. Listen, it's okay to be angry, but you can't sin in your anger. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. This is Stacy Lunsford, and you're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. So to be functionally illiterate is to have a little education or knowledge. Okay? So I'm jumping back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, because we just really went through the whole chapter, but I want to focus on verse 1 for a moment so I could come back in to the heart of this message in regards to functional illiteracy in the body of Christ. And I pray that you are being blessed by this message. I therefore, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Vocation which you have been called. We thank God for the vocation wherewith we have been called. So this verse tells us how we are to walk worthy of our vocation, profession, to which we have been specifically chosen for by God. Now, I'm pausing here for a moment because as I read through the entire chapter of verse 4 of Ephesians, God was giving us different functions. So because functional illiteracy was standing out to me when I started this message, I want to repeat that to be functionally illiterate is to have some or a little education or knowledge. So in your vocation, you can have a little education or knowledge in your vocation, but be below minimum literacy standards. So I'm going to say that again. To be functionally illiterate is to have a little education or knowledge in your vocation. But at the same time, you don't have enough and it makes you fall in that below minimum category. So you're below minimum literacy standards of that vocation and its function. And I had to ask God, why? Because I totally get the part about people being, you know, illiterate as far as education goes, as far as reading goes. But when it comes to the body of Christ, God, why? Why are we below minimum literacy in the body of Christ? And so he took me to Hosea, the fourth chapter in the sixth verse that says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. The word of God instructs us to study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved. And that means tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, which means your function is to rightly handle and skillfully teach the word of truth. And that is found in 2 Timothy, the second chapter in the 15th verse. And I just read it in the Amplified version. In the King James version is what I was saying earlier. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is our reasonable service. That is our function. We are to rightly handle and skillfully teach the word of God. It is not optional. This is mandatory. This brings me to vocation school. Now, we have a lot of schools where people can go to vocation school and they can learn a trade. Well, the Holy Ghost was really breaking this down to me. So, vocation school is a school that offers instruction in skilled trades such as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The vocation and function of these occupations are found in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the 11th and the 12th verses, which we just got finished reading. And I'm going to repeat these two verses in the Amplified version because it really breaks down the function. And it really helps us to understand the biblical principle of God's word. Remember, we are kingdom citizens in the kingdom of God, and we're learning the biblical principles of God's word so that we can activate, strategically execute God's plan in this world. And please don't forget that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We don't belong to this world. We are kingdom citizens in the kingdom of God. Amen. And we are coming to a close, and our final scriptures tonight is Ephesians 4, 11, verse 12. And I am reading in the Amplified. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us. This is Jesus appointed some to be apostles. Now, apostles are special messengers, some prophets. A prophet is an inspired preacher and expounder. Some evangelists. Evangelists are preachers of the gospel and traveling missionaries. Some pastors, shepherds, his flock, and teachers. So in your vocation, if your vocation is one of the above, please keep reading because your function is found in verse 12, Ephesians 4, verse 12. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. And that's it right there. His intention, Jesus' intention, was for the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people. Now, right there, I just have to share Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 with you real quick, because that tells us about being God's consecrated people. The Apostle Paul also wrote the book of Romans. He wrote about 21 of the epistles in the New Testament. But Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, if you are functionally illiterate in the body of Christ, this is your biblical prescription to get right with God. Timothy, 2nd chapter, 15 verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of your mind. So these are things that we have to do. God is not going to do it for us. If you realize through this message that you are functionally illiterate, then you have some homework to do. And if you need help, please reach out to me at eloquentlyspeaking@gmail.com, or you can visit me and put your prayer request at ariseandshineforjesus.org, or you can reach out at eloquentlyspeaking.com. And if you want to contact me on Facebook, you could contact me on Facebook. But if you need help, please ask for help. That's what I'm here for. Functional illiteracy in the body of Christ is time for a change. So I pray that you have been blessed by this message. And I just want to share a personal testimony. When I first started ministering the word of God, the title I had was an evangelist. And at the church where I first preached, I was a gift to the body of Christ. And that meant that locally at my home church and abroad to the nations, because I did a lot of missionary work when I grew up in church. And I mean, I always went to Sunday school, but I joined the missionaries. And so I always supported the missionaries overseas, abroad to the nations, and then locally. But as I matured in the Lord, I continued to do my missionary work. And at heart, my passion is evangelism and missions. But as an evangelist, I realized that I was a gift to the body of Christ. And my function was to preach the gospel, to share the word, and to travel as a missionary whenever God sent me out. And a lot of times, you know, I didn't have the money to go abroad, but I would support in prayer and I would support with financial giving and donations. And I was very much involved, and the people, they really appreciated the gift. And so I gave thanks to God. But, you know, sometimes people don't understand the function of an evangelist. And I don't have enough time to get into the teach, but we do have the gift of an evangelist. And it is different than a regular licensed evangelist that is a minister of the gospel. You can be an evangelist and you can minister the gospel and you can travel and go abroad and do what God has called you to do. But it is different than the office of an evangelist. It is different than the gift of an evangelist. The gift of an evangelist is a gift to the body of Christ that falls under Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. These are the five ascension gifts. So I just wanted to use evangelist as an example. You can be a prophet. You can be a pastor. You can be an apostle. You can be a teacher. But these five gifts, they are offices. So as we continue with this message, I'm going to break down what these different offices are and the difference between. The reason I'm using the evangelist, because like I said, you can be an evangelist, but you're not in the evangelistic office. So it's a big difference. And when I first started ministering, the earlier years of my ministry, I was an evangelist. I was Evangelist Stacy Lunsford. And as I grew in my relationship with God, so did my gifts and so did my title. And I am now Apostle Stacy Lunsford, and I'm not all into titles. I know who I am. I don't have to go around saying I'm Apostle Stacy, but I know what my function is. I understand that I am a gift to the body of Christ, and we all have many gifts. And one of my gifts is to rightly divide the word of truth. So I take great pride in teaching and preaching the word of God, because I'm held accountable for everything that comes out my mouth. And if I don't rightly divide this word, I'm going to get in trouble with God. And I'm not trying to get in trouble with God. So I have been anointed by God to work alongside pastoral and apostolic leadership. Because of Hosea 4 and 6 that I read a few moments ago, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Most of the churches and the pastors, the spiritual leaders that I served under, they did not understand the gift. Now, forget about Stacy. You know, when Joseph, when they called him out of prison, the butler didn't remember Joseph. He remembered Joseph's gifts. So the gifts will make room for us. But they did not understand the gift. They did not understand me. Therefore, they couldn't appreciate the gift. And in ignorance, they mistreated, they persecuted, and they overlooked the gift. Who is the Holy Ghost talking to? We're talking about functional illiteracy in the body of Christ. So some of you are overlooked, and I'm telling you why. They don't know who you are. They don't know that you are chosen by Jesus to be to serve in an apostolic office. They don't know that you are a gift to the body of Christ based on what we just read in Ephesians 4 in the 8th chapter, that you are a gift to man. My people perish for lack of knowledge, and we're talking about functional illiteracy in the body of Christ. So do anybody understand what I'm talking about? Whether you are fully operating in your vocation or functioning at the beginning or the middle, if you apply the word of God that is being released in this place at Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry, you will indeed learn, you will grow, you will laugh, you will cry, and you will become all that God has called you to be. and you will understand what it means to be fitly joined together in Christ, in Christian love, in Christian unity, and we can be the body of Christ that we have been ordained to be before the foundations of this world. Hallelujah. Tearing down strongholds, building up the kingdom. Lord, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we thank you so much for spending this time with us. And we pray that you will continue to study and show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God bless you and have a wonderful evening.